Good evening. Go ahead and make your way to Psalms 127. We're going to use that as our base scripture portion for tonight. I did announcement to give to Jonathan, so my bad. We want to confirm or confirm and put it to rest for finally the Constitution and bylaws. So we asked the men to review the Constitution and bylaws until 9:15, and then the following week, hopefully, we'll have everything ready so we could come together. So I haven't heard from anyone. Partially, it's probably my fault. I haven't sent out the bylaws or Constitution in electronic format, so I'll do that. But the minutes were sent out. Yeah, the minutes were sent out. But again, the Constitution and bylaws are important. We want to make sure that's correct. If there's any questions on anything, if there's anything you wonder about wording, please let Jonathan or I know so we could take care of that. So that's the only one that I want to mention. Again, by 9:15, if we could have all the men look at that document and if there's anything else. Oh, right, sorry. Two announcements I didn't tell you, sorry. there's been an interest in baptism. So we'd like to announce that we'd like to have a baptism upcoming soon. So we'd like to know if there's any interest, other interest, those that are interested in being baptized. Again, baptism doesn't mean anything for salvation. It means it's a public display of your salvation in the Lord. So if there's any of those that have not taken part in the waters of baptism and would like to, please let us know. We always have classes first, and then we plan. We usually have gone to Jordan Lake and have done our baptisms. I don't know. We'll see how warm it is, but we'll figure that out. Again, so please see Jonathan and or I, and we'll go into that. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity this evening to gather as your people, called out for your purposes and your glory. Lord, I pray that you just lead us in understanding right now by the Holy Spirit as we read and understand your word, and then as we start this new series, may we just be blessed. Lord, may we be challenged more than anything by your word, that we may follow the principles that you have handed to us, Lord, and that we may follow them, Lord, with your help. And even with the believers around us, Lord, may we find encouragement and wisdom in their lives as well. Lord, lead us now in this study, Lord, and we pray all these things in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're starting a new series. We've just gotten done with New Testament principles. And I think it's as we talk about New Testament principles and the family of God and assembly of God, assembly of saints of people, that gather, called out for his name, we're going to talk about the family, the household now, within our own families. Not as a way to, that Jonathan and I have seen as there's any problems or anything, but we've planned this out even before 2016 started or right at the beginning of 2016. So we want to bring encouragement to our families, to our parents, to our marriages, to make sure that we're following God's principles the best that we can. And if we're not, this is not a criticism. This is not a way to point out how different parents or different marriages or different family households are doing. But we want to press on, right? We want to press on to what the Lord wants for our family. So this series, Word-Filled Family Series, we're going to focus on a few principles of family life, marriage life, and it's also if children, kids, teenagers, these are principles that you have some responsibility in also. You're in the family, right? You're in the family. So how are you holding to your calling in Christ as your role in your family, as a young daughter, young son, or being a good brother? Good sister? Those are things we want to talk about. Those are things we want to consider because it matters in God's eyes. It matters for the testimony of the gospel. The world is watching. The world is at war with the marriage. They're at war with the biblical principle of marriage and family. And so we have to discuss things so that we're like a soldier, well-tested, well-developed. We know how to bring out a family in the eyes of God. So I pray that you guys take some notes. This is more like an introduction message to this series. So I pray that these are some things that will hit home and some things that Ruben and I are still working on as we have young children. We're trying to counsel a young couple before marriage. We're doing some premarital counseling and we're following a different book than the one that we studied before marriage. And we looked at each other, we're like, whoa, we missed a lot, didn't we? After 10 or 11 years, we're like, wow, we could still be learning. We could still be challenging ourselves. So I hope this challenges you all. So some things, some subtitles to this is creating a godly heritage. The mindset of gaining wisdom, gaining thought, gaining knowledge about what God wants for a family. And how do you create that godly heritage? Again, we all come with baggage, right? Good or bad. We all have different backgrounds. The way our parents have raised us, some of us have great parents. Some of us have parents that were not saved, so they didn't know the principles, right? Then some of us have really good family backgrounds, and they have come from a godly heritage, and therefore they have some of the basics down. But I believe there's always more room for learning. How do we create a godly heritage so that our marriages, our families, our children will live brightly in this world and continue on the gospel work and the gospel message? The last one is raising spiritual children. How are we raising spiritual children? So this is all in my introduction here, okay? How are we training up a child? How are we training up children the way they should go? Or do they know everything? Most teenagers say, what? I know that. Oh, what's the big deal? Or dad, mom, come on. I did that plenty of times to my father. But it's interesting now. It's interesting. Sometimes I have like a 30, 40-minute drive home. And Ruben knows that's when I always call. I call my mom almost every day. Okay? Thank you, Kathy. My mom says, just call me to see that we're breathing, okay? Just call that we're breathing. And so when I call, it's interesting because sometimes I'm just sitting in Morrisville traffic. And sometimes I get into this reflective mode, and I say, I talk to my father a lot because he was the stoic kind. He was very stoic. He never said, I love you. He has more of a servant heart, so he showed his love. And we had three boys, so we're like, rrr. But he only till like end of college did he really say I love you when I was leaving once, and I'm like, whoa, what? So as I drive home, I ask these questions of wisdom. I ask him, what made you do this when we were growing up? What made you do that? And I ask these questions because Ruben and I, well, I'll say myself, I'm definitely not perfect, but I want to get things right. I want to gain wisdom so that I can do it right and I could bring up my children in the way the Lord wants me to. I think we need to have more of that. That more of, why did you do that? I ask Roy and Kathy a lot of questions all the time, how they raise their kids. I ask some of my other friends, why do you do it like that? Or why did you do that? Because I want to learn. I want to know what moved them in God's ways to do certain things. Because I see the results in their children. Do we have that mindset? Some of us need help. I'll raise my hand first. Sometimes I need help. I've asked Jonathan and June, how did you teach your kids discipline? Or how did you do this? Or how did you do that? I want to learn how to be a better parent. A word filled family. Again, I want to start off. Again, this is introduction, so we'll see how far I get through this. If all you did was watch television commercials for minivans, you might think that the traditional all-American family was still intact. Mom, dad, dog, and the 2.5 kids. Buckle up and drive off every day on TV. But ads, depending on your perspective, are either selling aspirations or guilt. This is the family you're supposed to have or supposed to want. In real life, in big cities and smaller towns, families are single moms, their step families, their boyfriends and girlfriends not getting married at the moment, their foster parents, their two dads or two moms, or it's a village. But in real life, in 2016, it's very diverse, isn't it? And are only getting more so. In fact, the very definition of family is changing dramatically. The year 2000 marked the first time that less than a quarter of American households were made up of a married man and woman. Less than a quarter were made up of a married man and woman and one or more of their children. A drop from 45% in 1960. This number is expected to fall to 20%. Why the changes? The change in the makeup of the American family is the result of two primary factors, says somebody smart at U.S. Census Bureau, which collects such figures every 10 years. First, he says, more babies, about a third, are now born out of wedlock. And second, divorce rates continue to climb so that nearly half of all marriage contracts are broken. Half. What's the normal now? The overall attitude toward relationships and commitment has shifted. More than half of female high school seniors say that having a child outside of marriage is acceptable, according to a recent poll from the University of Michigan. And census data shows that 26% of all households are made up of a single person living alone. As opposed to 13% back in 1960. While a good portion of these singles are likely senior citizens, others are younger career folks who don't feel yesteryear's societal pressures to rush into partnerships. In 2002, the median age for a woman's first marriage was 27. That's 5 years older than it was in 1980. So 2002 was 27. That's 5 years older than 1980. Sometimes young singles establish their individual identities so solidly that they never marry and even have children. These couples may partner up, but without the papers. This is the life we live in. Again, I say it's an all-out war. It's an all-out war on the biblical way of marriage and families. You might feel the pressure. You might have singles, right? You might have single friends. You might feel it and say, what's the big deal of getting married? Or what's the big deal? What's a big deal to God? If you're a believer, God has called us to certain ways of living life. Right now, it's, let me go to the vending machine and let me have it the way I like, right? Whatever makes me feel good is the way I'm going to live my life. Well, it's not what God calls. Psalms 127, let's read this passage here. I want to use this as a base of learning today. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. As we look at this, I want to just point out a few principles here, and I want to just go into it a little bit. I'm not breaking the passage down. We're not going to go into the specifics. I just want to talk about a few things. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless we live lives that are dependent on God, we build in vain, right? See, the thought here is, and especially the American way of thinking is, we have many lords, don't we? We have many things that we go after. and we put our dependency on things other than God, and then what happens? It's like catching the wind, right? It's like creating more anxiety upon anxiety upon anxiety, and you become more unstable. And there's no foundation. There's no point, focus point, focal point by which our lives are built on. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless our dependency is upon God for everything, and we look to God for everything, we will falter. See, I was thinking about some of these as other religions, you know, they have this thing of come as you are and you'll get these things, this prosperity mindset. You know, this prosperity mindset of pleasing yourself, and then there's no foundation. You're always searching, and you're always, do I have it right? God is saying, no. You come to me first. You come to redemption. You come redeemed, and then you come, allow me to build this house. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. God's blessings are upon a household who live their lives according to his principles and his will. God's blessings are upon a household. My mother came here with $7 in her house, in her pocket. $7 in her pocket as a nurse. And they came here for a better life. Don't get me wrong. They came here for a better life. In India, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult life. Outside the States, anywhere you go, it's very difficult. But my parents, they were redeemed. They were believers. They believed God called them to America for this better life, and grounded, and they fought, they strived, they worked 8, 10, 11, 12 hours days. Almost sometimes seven days a week, 6 days a week. But you know what was the foundation they built upon? They built upon God. They made sure that they were teaching the principles at home of reading the Bible daily, having a devoted time, having a devoted life to God, and that was the principle. You see, we didn't get caught up in everything that was happening around us. We didn't get caught, my parents didn't get us caught up in sports or drama or, you know, all these other stuff out there. My parents said, well, one thing, they were working. But they also, when the doors were open at church, we were there. We woke up in prayer. We went to sleep in prayer. You see, as a very young child, I didn't know a lot. I probably still don't know a lot, right? But as a young child, I think of Aaron. Aaron's not here. I could talk about Aaron. Aaron, he doesn't know a lot, but he listens. And he asks. So yesterday he goes, Daddy, you know what friction is? What? Were you going to define friction for me? And he actually gave me the right answer. But as a young kid, kids are like sponges. And though they may not understand the deep theological principles, they're watching, and they're watching a testimony and witness played out in front of them every day at home. When they wake up, they watch how Reuben and I treat each other. They may not understand the devotion that we read at morning or night, and we may try to explain the lesson from the story, but they get the basics, and they know our heart is tuned in to God. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the family life is built upon God, we labor in vain. God brings blessings upon a household who live their lives according to his principles and his will. Building families according to the gospel message. Here, I just want to bring the point out. When we think about our families, do we talk about the gospel message and how amazing the gospel message is? Or do we strive to teach good morals? Do we strive to tell them, oh, that's right, that's wrong, without telling them the why? When I remember one of the first times Anjali lied, it broke my heart. And I say, you don't lie to mommy and daddy. Did I stop there? No. I started with the gospel message, and I said, do you know what that is? That's sin. before a holy and just God, they have to understand that's wrong. That's why we're separated from God. Our sin separates us from a holy and just God. Building our lives, our family lives, upon the gospel message brings meaning. It brings us to a point. It's not just morals, and everyone is floating in this ocean of just morals. I tell them the why, which grounds me to this is the meaning. This is the foundation. This is what I point to. You know what's learned there? Children, as they develop their self-esteem, self-awareness, they learn their depravity before a holy and just God. Do you see the gospel message? This is your first mission field is your family. It's a war, isn't it? See, outside in the neighborhood, in the community, in the schools, they say, oh, let me build your self-esteem. Let me make you feel good. Oh, that's so artistic. Oh, you're so good. No. Before a holy and just God, this is you. This is who you are before God. This is building our lives, are the foundation upon God and God alone. Work and labor to know and teach God's word in your house. Work and labor. How much do you work and labor to make this a priority in our lives? Hey, I understand we all have jobs. I understand we all have responsibilities. But the idea, I think, what's happening here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The idea is, until we take a priority of spiritual teaching in our households, you're shirking your responsibility. You're shirking your responsibility as a God-called parent. Again, I'm not saying this to criticize, because I could look at the mirror and myself. Sometimes I look at Ruben and I'm like, we're so tired. I look at Ruben and not to criticize Ruba at all, but I like, we should have started earlier. We should have turned the TV off. Or we should have done our family prayers right after dinner and not got involved with something else. Work and labor to know and teach God's word in the house. 24/7, parents. 24/7. It's a work, it's a toil, it's a labor, but it's a joyful one when we do our work. When I look at Levi or Judah, especially Judah, I remember at that age, I remember Jason Welpley doing the same thing to Fia. At that such a young age, when they did something wrong, when they probably couldn't even voice it, they had to know, and they slapped their hand and said, we don't do that here. That's the beginnings. That's the beginnings of work and labor as a parent. And it doesn't stop, does it? I say it doesn't stop till they're married, but it doesn't stop. It doesn't. Well, my parents are still giving me lessons and, oh, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, yes. Ruben knows that. Yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. You know, we're respectful, but then, you know, they're in Florida. We're in North Carolina. But even at a young age, the work and labor and toil, there is work. It's 24/7, but the joys come later, right? Even in youth ministry, I'm like, there's no reward. I'm out of here. But when I see some of these young men, some of these young women, and they're the first ones to say, I'll do it. Hey, can we go outside and share the gospel? I'm like, well, this is the teenager that didn't want to go to your Sunday school or whatever before. There's the joy. This is an encouragement, parents. Continue on, press on. The joys are coming, the rewards are coming. Families built upon God and His Word will develop children who will be the crowns and rewards of parents and grandparents. Proverbs 17:16. I put it into different versions here. Listen to these words. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Can you hear those words there? My parents absolutely spoil our kids. But I see the joy in their heart and their mind when they see their grandchildren and going well and learning things about God. But when we discipline them, we're in the wrong, right? Grandparents are always right. What's up with that? I don't know what's up with that. But I see the joy in their face. Can I tell you, I grew up in India. I grew up in New York. Sorry. I'm getting dehydrated here. Yeah. I grew up in New York, and I think about the assembly I grew up in, Indian Assembly. And I had these reflective moments. I think about my youth group. I could count, and we had a large assembly, large Indian assembly. I could count on one hand that married well, that have children, and that are still continuing on in the Lord. I could count on one hand. And I think about, and I see some of those parents, and they're so thankful that they worked hard at such a young age to develop their children. And then you think about the other families, and I hear stories of, yeah, one father, he always worked. He worked. He's a good provider. Yeah, that's great. What did he teach his children? This is a principle, I think, that we need to understand. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. When I look out and I talk to my parents, I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope I don't mess up. But how did you do this? We had another a good family friend over just 2 weeks ago, and he was security. He was head of security at the UN. He worked hard. But I asked him these questions: how did you raise your kids? Tell me, what were some insights that you learned? Can you tell me? You see, in a family right here in a Western Wake Bible Chapel. Praise the Lord, we have different generations. Do you know why the Lord does that? Because I'm not perfect. I don't know half the time what I'm doing. But I have brothers here that have gone through it. And I seek their wisdom. You young adults, young families, young people, ask. Ask questions. Gain wisdom. Love wisdom. The lie, the fallacy of American life is, I can do it on my own. Watch me tread my own path. I'm going to watch you fall. Or I'll watch your children fall. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Godly children have an eternal, eternal impact. I think about Jason Welpley. I think about Jason that's working on the Jesus Film Project. See, the Lord touched his heart. The Lord gave him godly parents. And you see how the eternal impact he has. Even when my kids are on the street playing with neighbors, I could do one thing. I'm like, oh, these pagans. I don't want these pagans around my kids. Huh. Get in the house. We'll play. I could be like that, right? I've at least begun the work of instilling the gospel into their hearts. And I tell them, you know, when so-and-so is playing with you, what do they talk about? The lost art today is face-to-face time with kids. Having family dinner, sitting down, talking to kids. I say, Anjali, you know why we don't do that here? Or my friends do this. Or my friends do that. I go, well, we don't do that. I don't say just, I stop there, but I go into it. You have to give them the why. They're sponges. And you have to fill them with the truth. Are we doing that? Turn with me to Judges chapter 2. Dangers of not building our household on the Word of God. Again, this is all introduction. All introduction to some key principles. One of the principles that we didn't discuss in New Testament, our New Testament principles series is discipline, church discipline. So I'm going to hopefully bring that in next week, along with how do we discipline in a family? How do we train up a child, and more specifically? Well, what are the dangers of not building your household on the Word of God? Judges chapter 2, listen to these words. Verse 8, now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. What happened? What happened? Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They provoked the Lord to anger. Not following the ways of God and remembering God's promises or blessings. What happened? How can another generation lose sight? So many tremendous things have happened in the nation of Israel. How can generations lose sight? I wonder. I wonder what they were taught. I wonder what they listened to. So I said, again, this idea about just teaching about morals and no foundations. You teach them, oh, be the Jewish nation. This is how we live as Jews. Well, you have to ground them into, what are those principles grounded to? It's the Lord God who, look at what he's doing to the nation of Israel. Look how he's forming you into a nation among nations. That's your focal point. That's where you move. That's your anchor. And they learn to have that dependence upon God. This is why we do what we do. Or do we just teach them the right and wrongs? And then it becomes all about them, right? Their focal point becomes them. And that's what's happening today, right? In life, focal point is whatever you believe is truth. Well, what are we teaching our children? Fallacy of depending on outside spiritual influences. The fallacy of depending on other babysitters. Let me say it in this way. Sometimes we shirk our responsibilities and sometimes say, oh, the church will cover this, or the youth group will cover this, or they'll get to it sometime. Where can I say, marriages, parents have the number one responsibility and priority in teaching their first mission field, their children. Don't get me wrong, church does great things. The assembly has great teaching. The Sunday school teachers have great... If they go to Awana, there's great teaching. There's great teaching. But don't think that you're going to be dependent upon that to teach your child. You must teach these things. I won't call her out, but we get into the car within 5 minutes. I say, Anjali, what did you learn in Sunday school? It eventually comes. She's good. She's good at it. And then Aaron, I just have to ask, like, what did you learn in Sunday? Well, we did this and that. And he just goes on a long little story. And then we try to ask him, well, why? What's the meaning behind that lesson? Do you understand it? There has to be purpose behind. We do all things purposefully, right? Everything in life we do purposefully. But when it comes to family, it's like, oh, that's my time. Kids are just a byproduct. Or, let me say this, my marriage is just a byproduct and we don't spend any face time with our spouse. I'm throwing a lot of things in here, but do you understand what I'm saying? Let's not live in the fallacies of this world. Let's live on the priorities and responsibilities we've been called to. Again, look into other leaders for the leading of your household. Sometimes we look at false leaders in this world and how they live their family lives or whatever, but you are the leader of your household. You need, men, you need to take up that calling. What was that, Promise Keepers? Man, that's a great ministry. Men were taking up their calling. We need a revitalization of men and being leaders in the household. Don't say, I'm just the provider. I leave that up to my wife. or the disciplining or anything up to my wife. You need to lead. And we're going to go into some of this later on. Judges 3. Sorry, our time is flying by here. Judges 3. So there, they forsook the Lord. These are the dangers of not building your household on the Word of God. They forsook the Lord. Judges 3, 1 and 2. So they forsook the Lord, right? And they returned back to evil. So what did God have to do? Now, these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. God was going to use this time in the history of the nation of Israel to teach them God. God is your focal point again. Come back. These generations have lost it. I want to read some of these to you. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What? But they're so beautiful. They're so pure. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from them. Raising spiritual households means work of discipline. Foolishness. They're so cute. They're so sweet. They're so evil, pagan. They're so full of sin. We, as believers, redeemed, need to share the gospel with them even more so, right? May they understand it. When I hear some people that say, I knew the Lord at age 5, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that they found the Lord at age 5. That means their parents did the right thing. Praise the Lord. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. We need to speak to their hearts. Children's natural tendencies are like a sponge. They absorb anything and everything that they take into all the senses, all the sense gates. And if we do not fill the voids, if we do not fill the voids of the world's emptiness with the truth of God's word and a godly example shown before them, they turn to all that the world has to offer. Do you understand? Billy Graham says, parents have little time for children, and a great vacuum has developed. And into that vacuum is going to move some kind of ideology. Peter Marshall, let us not fool ourselves. Without Christianity, without Christian education, without the principles of Christ inculcated into the young life, we are simply rearing pagans. We're telling them how to be better pagans and fulfill themselves. Warren Henderson, this is not up here, says the vast majority of a nation's children are being taught in cesspools of humanism, New Age propaganda, evolution theory, and an anti-God agenda are being crammed into the minds of our young people from kindergarten on up. What our children are being taught will directly affect their understanding of God and consequently the course of this nation, and even more importantly, how God regards our country. Being parents is a full-time ministry. Let us not neglect this great calling. Let us not neglect our marriages, our households. Call me crazy. I think it's an all-out war on us. That's the mindset we need to have when we think about the castle God has given us, our families. Are we mindful of these things? Are we thinking about these things? Turn with me to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And think about these wisdom words, these wisdom verses. 22:6. I think I have that right? Yes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train him up. Discipline him. Train him. Discipline is sometimes now it has a negative meaning. No, it's a good meaning. It's discipline. You're training him up. You're saying, why don't we walk in the middle of the road? Well, you have to teach them why that's dangerous. You don't say, you know, a lot of people say, and this is probably what I heard as I was going off to college, it says, all right, you're done with high school, now go live the world and learn. You need to fall down on your own now and live. No. That's not the mindset. You walk along, you disciple them. It's discipleship 101. You're training them up as they go. Train up a child the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 29:15. I don't think I have that up there. Maybe I do. 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. You're helping your kids when you discipline and train them. Kids, when you hear this, you're like, oh, I don't want to hear this. My parents are going to be so much. Let me tell you. Yeah, you're probably going to be scared after this message, right? Everyone goes straight to the car. Let's just go to bed. I think about how many times I got spankings. We call them ardis in my language. Ardis. And my father, you never wanted to get one with my father. Oh my goodness, it hurt. I thank him now. Do you understand? Kids, can you hear me? When I think of my father spanking, I'm like, I think about my friends. My friends never got spankings. And then I'm like, where are they now? The rod and rebuke give wisdom. You're helping your kids. You will have less gray hair, hopefully, if you do it now. I don't have any hair, so I don't know what that means. Rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I have kids. I grew up in India Gospel Assembly in New York. One parent that I know doesn't even know where his child is. At a young age, he went and lived his life, and they don't even know where he is. Two other kids, they married, divorced at least two times. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Do you hear those words? Kids, children, teenagers, when your kid, when your parents try to teach you something, or don't roll your eyes. They're giving you pearls of wisdom so that you can live life and live it for the glory of God. They're teaching you wisdom. They're teaching what is right in God. Learn from them. If you treat them wrong, kids, go to them and say, I'm sorry. Say, I'm sorry. Can you tell me again what I did wrong? And help me. And pray with me that I may do it right. This is what God calls us to. Train up a child. Train him up so that we may bring glory and honor to God. Can I close? And I know I'm over time. Just practical application. I had another passage, but we won't get into it. Here's my practical application. And I don't have it up here, but just listen. Be what you want your children to be. Very simple, right? Be what you want your children to be. Young age, I didn't notice this. Before my mom, I think I told you guys, before my mom went to work, and she left like at 7 or 7:30, she was a nurse. She did 12-hour shifts. Her bedroom door was cracked open. I could see her sitting on the bed with her Bible open, and she was pouring her heart out to God for herself, her workday, and for her children. Be what you want your children to be. Very simple. And I'm not criticizing you. If you haven't done it, every day is new. Start a new day. Do it different. Do it the way you would like it to be. Take the baby steps and do it. Even if it's your wife or your husband, before they get out of bed, hey, pull them back and say, can we just have a word of prayer? That's it. Start. Be what you want your children to be. Love your children unconditionally. Love your children unconditionally. Andrew Murray states, it is only the heart that captures the heart of another. It is only the heart that captures the heart of another. Love your children unconditionally. No matter how many times, if they're older, if they have left home, if they're away from the Lord, love them unconditionally. Win their hearts early. Win their hearts early. Teach them to protect their heart. Listen to this. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Win their hearts early. Teach them to protect their hearts. The family in your home ought to be unique. Anyone who comes to your home should know that you are different and that Jesus Christ is at the center of your family life. Raising children in an ungodly world is a 24-hour task, and parenting cannot cease. You are training your child either biblically or not, but still it's training. You're training them one way or the other. Parents, your home and your children are your number one mission field. You must do anything and everything possible to see your children choose Christ as Savior and then teach them to live for Him. These are my just simple principles, things that I've studied on. Psalms 127, and we'll close again with these departing words. Psalms 127, 3-5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. We have a tremendous calling for our marriages, for our families, and for our children's lives. We as believers need to take this and consider it a little bit more as we think about these thoughts. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, praise. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord, for you have awesome, wondrously, amazingly loved us and sent your only begotten Son to die for us, Lord. And you have redeemed that which was lost. Lord, I thank you for the great salvation you've given unto us. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a great, amazing, Lord, just wonderful words of life, a guidebook that we may live by, to know how we need to do our marriages, how we need to function within our marriages, how we need to build our family lives upon you, Lord, and how our children can know you and serve you, Lord. Lord, I know many times we falter, many times we fall. Lord, but may we take a new step, a next step in following after you. May this, Lord, may you stir our hearts to have conversations with our spouses and maybe change things around, do things different, Lord, that our children may see a godly testimony. Lord, lead our thoughts, lead our minds in these things, Lord. We thank you again, and we lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.